tree before they ever had any problems with a wooler or anything else. They didn't have even the black problem. They just, they rotted that sort of smart rut and all those.
Now that I'm not the only student council, now Mario Savio is seeking respectability. Two children looking for a job, full-time student.
I didn't know that.
I heard it.
Yes.
So he's turned around.
Too, that one of the reasons the student movement was so much cooler this year, and also in the summer, it might have been a fact that this is the other side of the economic problems, that they just decided they had to get a job. A lot of these kids have been out banging around, things were so easy for them, when it was on a flyer, and so they just, when they don't have to do anything, when they have no, nothing that drives them on to either for survival or success or whatever they have to do, and just turn to destructive activities. It could be that they're finding their reason. But Chicago has been as bad as some places, that's a shame. But
well,
the mayor is a pretty tough guy.
Yes, Richard, some of us matter what you stand on top of those.
Sure. He's got a known mayor. I've been out there on a couple of occasions with him and talks, but he is. He runs the city, of course, like cities used to be run.
Business of the Pentagon papers, where
big issue for you. In my view, it was far as we were concerned. There's no skin off our nose. But we just, it's all about the previous administrations and decisions that were made with regard to the war. Why do we let it out? The point is, can an individual be in government or be an editor, make a decision as to what is best for the country? Can those decisions be made there, or must they be made in another area? It's an arrogance, the most deadly of the seven sins is pride, of course. And that's what they have in an ultimate degree. And I think that the thing what we find around the country is that it's a rather curious thing that in this whole period in which we have passed, the period of not since we've been here 2.5 years or so, that our strength has not come in our support from the so-called better classes, those who call themselves the better class, that it hasn't come from the university professors, from the most part, from the so-called intellectual leaders, opinion makers, et cetera, et cetera. A few, like yourself, stood up on these things, but most have not. And it hasn't come from the elite among the business community. A few stand up, and most sort of go with, well, they read certain newspapers, listen to certain network commentators, and they go that way. But our strength, has gone with those who are looked down upon by so many people. Hard hats. Who is a hard hat? He's a guy who works. That's all. So a hard hat, a policeman, a farmer, an individual who may not use good grammar, an individual who basically a southerner. The southerners, the only place really where the elite, the only part of the country where the elite, a majority of the elite, probably were with us was in the South. Because the South has traditionally been, despite all of this, the agonies of the war and all that, Civil War and so forth, the South traditionally has been very strongly patriotic, very strongly law-abiding, and so forth. The Midwest, next in terms of that, but the East and many parts of the Far West, with some rather, they're rather striking exceptions like Orange County, San Diego, etc. In the Far West, where you still have great strength. But you'll find what we have found in this period is that as far as where we sat here, that on the great issues of national defense, on the great issues of trying to end a difficult war in an honorable way, on the great issues of standing up against demonstrators, which we've had to do, on issues which that we have found that, or shall we say, what is derided as law and order, we have had to go for our support to those that are looked upon with scorn by the university graduates, the teachers, the professors, the opinion makers, the business leaders, etc. I know this crowd so well because I lived among them. We have them in Washington. I knew them in New York. Very well. I knew them in California, and of course I've seen them around the country. And incidentally, I have no rancor against any of them. I respect everybody for his point of view. But at this particular point, what is really being tested in this country is America's leader class, not its middle class, not its working class. There's still a lot of character there. There's still a lot of those people that go to church, believe in things, that wear a flag, not just at election time, but other times as well. There's still some, old-fashioned patriots, old-fashioned churchgoers, et cetera, et cetera. People who believe in basically the old values. But that frankly is the hope of the country as well as its present strength. That's why I always refer to the heartland. The heartland is not a place geographically, although it's mainly in the South and the Middle West. Because you find a heartland in upper New York, you can find it in the heart of New York City among a hard edge. You find it in California, and particularly in Southern California. You find it up in Northern California, as a matter of fact, and we're up through that great Central Valley. But the key point now is that it's whether or not those who should be the leaders of this country, who should make opinion, and now whether they have learned or are beginning to learn, I don't know. But real question is whether they will now step up and speak out against permissiveness, or speak out for strength for the country, speak out, of course, for reason and foreign policy, like in the areas that I am moving. We're not doing things because we're naive, we're doing things because we're intelligent. That's the difference in terms of our approaches to the problems of the world, at least I think it is. And I think at this particular point, your audience, for example, is basically a heartland audience. People listen to you and they support you because you stand for basically certain fundamental values that they hear derided in virtually every motion picture, in virtually every television program, on the television news night after night, in the newspapers, except for maybe The Trip, among other been there a half a dozen, and of course among the columns. Well, it's pretty hard for that kind of medicine to be pushed into the body politic over and over and over again. And it's very hard for a younger generation to come up being exposed to that kind of teacher, that kind of influence. Because just what they learn in school is what they're exposed to, what they see on television, what they read in newspapers. It's hard for a younger generation to come up and have any sanity at all. Would you agree?
Mr. President, I would not only agree, but I'm not going to attempt to apologize for my media and the manner in which it has made your job sometimes almost impossible.
Oh,
there is a way that could be done.
I know it well.
The whole thing would be the complexion of they ever get under my skin. News writers could be turned around in a period of 10 years, and I hope that in another question you address yourself to.
I think so. But it has to be turned around by finding some system of reward and punishments, perhaps.
I was thinking more of the fact that these came out of a certain era, and now if we have some journalism training for the new breed, the warped pseudo-intellectual left could...
Where are you going to get that, though? Now, look, you know the schools of journalism, Columbia. What are they going to produce?
No, but we can create one.
They would overshadow those.
Could you?
Yes, sir. You see, I have talked to many editors, and I've talked to some station owners. They say, my God, we said we just hate the stuff that's on our program, but we can't control our people. Even the editor of the Chicago Tribune will tell you that.
I don't know whether Billy's told you this story, but very few years ago, he called a dozen of us together in New York and said he wanted to create a university of substance. He didn't want young Christians to go out with a diploma that they had to apologize for.
Sure.
The land was available to everybody, had the money.
Sure.
There were no questions. But this bogged down. I was there because I wanted to see the established journalism circle.
That's part of the university.
Yes. And hopefully a law school. I wanted to have Harvard. This is bogged down, unfortunately, because we couldn't get 12 men to agree on a code for campus conduct. I asked Billy if you ever do this again. Don't ask 12 men.
Don't do it.
Tell them and let those who want to go along go along.
You never ask anybody anything unless you decide in advance what you want to come out. I don't mean you dictate. You've got to persuade. You've got to maybe mold your views a bit.
Why don't you really give your name to
the
universe?
The whole essence of leadership is, of course, to decide what's going to happen, what you think should happen, and bring people around to it. Let some of you think about it.
You can't collide more of it on with your enemies who are already entrenched anyway. Why don't we?
It will come. And as a matter of fact, we may be witnessing. You never know, these things change without your knowing it. But there has been a general cooling of America, as you know. There has been somewhat of an improvement in the whole attitude
towards
law enforcement. As we finish the Vietnam War, we hope that there will be perhaps some restoration of patriotism and the rest. But there must be something in people like Graham, Norman Beale, people like that, their religious appeal seems to be quite something. On the other side of the coin, I haven't mentioned the churches. On the other side of the coin, I happen to be a Quaker. And I must say, we have got some good ones, but the number of people that have joined us hardship, Kenneth, and some of their positions or something. But you look at the Protestant church today, except for Graham's fundamentalist, you see what Carson Blake usually talks about? Look at the Catholics. And you talk to the fundamentalist Catholics, and they've got real problems too, you see. Now that doesn't mean that there is a certain rigid view in the church that has to be taken. I don't go that distance that some do, I know, the literal. But I do know that once institutions just cut away from all values and all principles, they're going to die. Like, nobody's going to believe them. And that's why you find these great so-called progressive churches empty all over America. You know, the Congregationalists and so forth, and the Presbyterians, etc.
But the Mormons grow fastest. The Adventists grow fastest.
Mormons are right.
Fundamentalists grow, but those who can.
Billy Southern Baptists are still growing.
Yeah.
And as I say, some Presbyterians are there divided. But I don't give up on it, because I think that if what is called the lower classes of America, I don't say that, but that's what others call them, if they had gone to the way of the other people, then we should be very frightened. But fundamentally, the heart of the country is sound. It's a close call, but fundamentally it is. The point is that as a younger generation moves up, exposed to this new leader class, which is not sound, then over a period of time that erodes the heart. And that's the thing we've got to do. It's a question of the education.
How much do you have underestimated your effect on your influence on the country in your selection of Supreme Court justices? And I hope you don't underestimate your possibilities in journalism as president.
I hope that it could be something about the matter.
Because actually, you can't win unless you have smart people.
Which is a difficulty.
It's a difficulty, you see. Also, we've got to get up these networks. There are people around. I mean, like network television people. And those clowns that are on the network, most of them are a little bright. They don't get the report. You take out, I have a big friend out in Los Angeles, as you may know, George Hutton. He has a huge audience. And you have a big audience and so forth. You ought to be on that part.
And you don't have to send anything to television.
That's
the truth.
Right.
Did you give them a...
Still had your guts, huh?
I think we're having a meeting with Dr. Kissinger.
Oh, you're with that?